Hi, church. It's good to be back. I was away for a couple of weeks, and I went to Perth during my leave, and I was very blessed by the Lord in Perth because the Lord blessed me with a place where I can stay for 12 days free of charge. Not only that, I got to stay in a place free of charge. The Lord also provided this car for my use. All right, so I was very excited because this is my first time driving a keyless car. Now, I don't know what is a keyless car, how it works, but it was handed to me. I look at this big new car sitting outside waiting for me. I was so excited. I went in immediately and I pressed the button and this came out. Yeah, the light just keep blinking at me, you know. So I thought, okay, I might try again. I keep pressing the button and somehow I could not start the car. So what I did, every Singaporean would do, I took a picture of this dashboard. I sent to my friend. I said, hey, Danny, I don't know what happened. So over the phone, Danny guided me. He said, Pastor, do you know where is the button? I said, yeah, of course. He said, make sure that the key is in the car with you. I said, yes. He guided me through the step, but I still could not start the car. Then he asked the million-dollar question. Pastor, are you stepping on the brake when you press? Then when I step on the brake and I press, this great engine of Mazda roar to life. I learned a very important lesson that night. I learned that you can have the new car in front of you. You can even have the key to the car. But it can be totally useless for you if you miss a very important step. And the step to, and in this case, is to step on the brake. Right? So, if you miss the important step, this car is totally useless. In the same way, I discovered that many churches, despite having great teaching, great pastors who are gifted in teaching, remain powerless. I've seen Christians who are being tutored by many people, but yet their life remain powerless. Why? Because I believe that they miss a very important step in discipleship. What is that important step in discipleship? Today the text for us is Matthew 28 again. I'd like to bring us back to this very important text because in it lies the important key. Alright, the count of three, can you do me a favor? Let's read it together. Alright, ready? 1, 2, 3. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning that, Lord, may you grant us revelation. Help us to see your word with fresh eyes. And help us to give to you a willing heart. To allow you to lead us. And that we will follow. Holy Spirit, we pray that you come. Silence the noise of the world. And help us to hear the clear voice of God. And dear Lord, that I will decrease and you will increase. So that, Lord, let every word that proceeds from this pulpit be the very word of God. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is the missing step? I shared with us previously that there are four O's that we need to take note of. Okay, I shared with you before that the source of authority, the source for our discipleship, the source for our mission is because God has all authority. Right? He has all the authority. He's the source of our discipleship. We talk about the scope of discipleship. It's not just to be limited to somebody. It's to be all nations. We talk about the fact that the scripture for discipleship, all that God has commanded us. And then finally, we talk about the strength for discipleship. So these are the resources given to us. But these resources cannot be activated if you are not exercising that missing step. If that missing step is in your life, these four resources are not able to be released in your life. You need to tap into that missing step and step on it. What is that missing step? It is obedience. The missing step in discipleship is obedience. All the promises of God, all the resources of God are available subject to your obedience. Verse 20, teaching them to obey, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Church, unless we obey the word of God, we are powerless Christian. Unless we obey the word of God, all the power that is reside in the scripture cannot be released into your life. This is a very important step as we consider discipleship in BBTC. Otherwise, you'll be like having a big car, but totally useless for you if you don't obey. This is three simple points I'd like to share with you this morning. Why discipleship in BBTC? Because first and foremost, it is His command for us. Secondly, it is our commitment to God. And finally, it is His training course to develop us. First and foremost, it is His command. Verse 19 tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. There are four verbs in these two verses. And among the four verbs, there's only one verb that comes with an emphatic intent. And it's not go. And sometimes I hear missionaries says, well, the command is go. No. The word go is as you go about in your daily life. The only word that comes with an emphatic intent is make disciples. The command that God has given to us is to make disciples. The command is not to go. The command is to make disciples. Now, how do you make disciples? You make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them. Now, in order for you to baptize anybody, you need to witness to the person. You need to evangelize to the person until the person reaches the point that he's ready to cross over. That's what baptism means. All right. And how do you do that? You do that by teaching them to observe all that God has taught us. And you come back to Scripture. But the key point here is that this is the Great Commission. This is a command from God to us. Now, if it's a command from God to us, what then is our appropriate response? What should be our appropriate response? Obey. Alright? Very simple, obey. Because if you don't obey, the opposite of not obeying is disobedience. And that's why I was reminded of this story. A president of a company gave his final instruction to his trusted employees, right, before he make a long trip to HQ. So he gathered all the trusted employees and said to them, look, I'm going to HQ for a long time and I need you to pay close attention to the business. I'll write to you regularly what to do. All right? I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I come back because I'll be receiving new information from HQ. All right? Now everybody agreed and they assured the president, don't worry boss, go, we will obey you. So during his absence, he wrote often, he communicated his desire, his concern, and finally he returned. And when he walked up to the front door of the company, immediately he discovered everything was in a mess. Right? First of all, the door was broken down, foul smell filled the air, security guard was sleeping, two or three people playing computer game. Instead of making a profit, the business suffered loss. So without hesitation, he called back all his trusted employees and asked them, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? They say, oh yeah, sure. We got all your letters. We have even bound them into a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday. You know, they were really great letters. Then the president asked, but what did you do about my instructions? And the employees responded, do? Well, nothing. But we read every one of them. We read every one of them. What would you do if you are the president? What would you do if you are the boss? When you give very clear instruction what to do, and when you come back, they have not done them. So what if they memorized the letter? So what if they studied the letter? So what if they read all the letters? They had disobeyed him. It broke his heart. All these assurances meant for nothing. Unfortunately, this is also true for some Christians. That's why some teachers describe Christians as this. Some of you don't know what this is. This is tadpole, okay? Now, tadpole, it means very big head and very small body.
And some Christians are like that. They're full of knowledge, but very little body because they hardly exercise the word of God. And some teachers describe Christian as this. All right, bad photographs, overexposed, underdeveloped. But worst of it all is that there is this subtle thinking in our mind. We may not say it, but there's a thinking in our head, and that is, it is okay not to obey. We may not say it, but in our life, we live this way, that it is okay not to obey the command of God. How can I be sure? I can be sure because I was once guilty of this as well. Until the Lord convicted me that there are consequences to disobedience. The Lord loved us, so the Lord gave us some warning to prepare us. So let me share with you quickly some warning. Now, there are a lot of warnings from Scripture. I just want to give us three warnings from God about disobedience. First, everyone who hears the words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. All right, this is about the comparison between the wise man and the foolish man. And when the storm comes, when the wind comes, when the wave comes, the flood comes, and the scripture describes, great was its fall. What does it tell us? It tells us that we'll be having shaky foundation. James 1:22, but prove yourself with the doers of the word, not mere hearers who delude themselves. All right, if you hear the word and you don't do, what ended up is that you will deceive yourself. Right, the third scripture, 1 Corinthians 8:1. But concerning the things sacrificed to idol, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant. Right, another version says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Alright? And pride. These are the warnings from Scripture. At least three. That if you hear and you don't obey, or when you disobey the word of God, three dangers that we need to watch out for. First is shaky foundation. So as a result of that, we cannot stand under the pressure of life. That's why some of us could be easily shaken or can be easily stressed, even though you may be a Christian for a long time, because you have not built your life on the Word of God. You have not obeyed the Word of God. Some of us, we deceive ourselves. We have a false sense of knowing, just like many keyboard warriors or self-appointed critics who knows how to give wrong advices, like the friends of Job. Sounded godly, but totally off. And the worst of it all is, of course, we can become arrogant and proud. And now that is the most dangerous place to be in. Do you know why? Do you know why it is the most dangerous place to be in if you have pride? Because God hates the proud. You don't want to be in the wrong side with God. The best place for you and I to be in is the place of obedience. Right? The best place for you and I to be in is the best place of obedience because it brings pleasure to God and it will bring pleasure to you if you learn to obey God. Now, we can be in a place of obedience because God has designed us to be people who will obey. I'll come back to that later. But let me just share with you an illustration about being in a place of obedience. How blessed it is to be in a place of obedience. John Kenneth Galbraith, all right, he's a politician. He served in various presidents, all right. And in his book, he gave a tribute to his housekeeper, Emily Gloria Wilson. All right, this is what he wrote. It had been a tiring day, and I asked Emily to hold all the phone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson, which is the president then, was calling from the White House. Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He is sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President. I work for him, not you. Later, when John Galbraith called the president could hardly control his pleasure. And he said to John, tell that woman I want her to come and work in the White House. If you are obedient to your master, even the presidents of the world want to have you. Amen? 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord so much desired, have the Lord so much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" It's a rhetorical question, all right? Because the second part tells us, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God is more interested in our obedience than in our outward sacrifices. How are we doing in this area of obedience? Just do a mental reflection for yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 for total disobedience, 10 for total obedience, where are you? Now, you don't have to give me the score, right? As you come to church every week, it is meant for us to allow the Word of God to reflect on our lives. So take the time now to just reflect on yourself. How are we doing in the area of obedience? Now, just to tease us, how have you been obeying the Word of God recently? For example, have you obeyed the word that was preached last weekend? Can you remember the sermon that was preached last weekend? You see, you cannot obey what you cannot remember. Now, I'm assuming some of you cannot remember, okay? By the way, just in case you want to know what was last weekend's sermon. Last weekend's sermon was about humility, passion, joy, contentment in serving God. Alright? Now, to be truly obedient, we need to take time to receive the Word. Alright? We need to take time to receive the Word. We need to take time to reflect on the Word. We need to take time to resolve our heart to act on the Word. Now, you cannot do that if you are multitasking right now. Like checking your email, checking your Facebook, playing Pokemon. Don't catch the long goals here, okay? In order for you and I to hear from the Lord, we need to give God our due attention. Then we can obey what the Lord has spoken. And I have good news for all of us. God designed us to obey the Word of God. How do I know? Because Galatians 5:16 tells us. All right, I don't have it on the screen yet. Turn your Bible to Galatians 5:16. All right, what does it tell us? Galatians 5:16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh." Because when you are believers, when you are saved, the Spirit of God is at work in your life. And when the Spirit of God is at work in your life, Paul tells us, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh of disobedience. When you have the Holy Spirit, you can live out an obedient life. God has empowered us to be obedient. So do me a favor. Let's affirm one another. Turn to the person beside you and say, you can fully obey the Word of God. Alright? We can start obeying the Lord today. Alright? We can fully obey the Lord today. Why discipleship in BBTC? First, it is the command of God. And we want to obey the Lord. Alright? We don't want to have SDP, just in case you forget about the warning. Just remember SDP. S stands for shaky foundation, D for deception, and P for pride. Alright, so if you want to stay clear from SDP, you need to walk in obedience to God. Alright? So first thing, it is His command. We want to walk in obedience. Second, our church wants to obey the Lord, and therefore we are committed to be an intentional disciple-making church. Alright, this is our commitment to the Lord, because we want to obey the Lord. The philosophy of disciple-making, it is about a certain kind of person who is radically committed to a certain kind of purpose, who through a certain kind of process, reproduce a certain kind of product. Now, in order for us, we need to be clear about the end product before we can design the process, alright? At least that's the engineer in me talking. You need to know what you are making before you can come up with the processes. All right, so what is the product? What is the end product? So the natural place to go back to is the Scripture. All right, how does Scripture describe disciples? 1 John 2:12. "I'm writing to you young children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I'm writing to you fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you fathers, because you have known Him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Question: how many types of disciples are there? Very obvious. Quick. How many? Five. How many types? Three types. Alright? Children, young men, fathers. Now I highlighted different colors for us so that because scripture describes for us how they look like. Right, so let's start with children. How does children look like? Because your sin has been forgiven you, because you know the Father. Now what does it tell us about children? Children are people who are young in faith. They just come to know that their sins have been forgiven by the Lord, and they begin to the journey of knowing God the Father. What about the young men? Alright? Young men, because you have overcome the evil one, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So you can see the word overcome the evil one repeated twice. Alright? You are strong, and the word of God abides in you. What does it tell us about a young man? A young man is somebody who has allowed the word of God to take root in his life so that he can experience victory. He has overcome the evil one in his life. A young man is a man who is strong, who can start to serve. Alright? And then of course finally, fathers. You discover that fathers, the descriptor is exactly the same. Because you know him who has been from the beginning. Because you know him who has been from the beginning. What does it tell us about fathers among us? Fathers are people who have long intimate relationship with God. Right? It's more than they are doing. They already come to a place of communion. They come to a place of intimacy. So what we've done in BBTC is that recognizing this, how the scripture describes the different stages of growth, for us in BBTC, we have reworded these three categories to new disciples, growing disciples, and maturing disciples. We just want to give it a more contemporary word to the three different stages, because it's very funny, you call a young woman, a young man, you're at a one young man stage. Right? So we decided to give a more contemporary term to it. And also to recognize that it's an ongoing process. That's why we use the word growing, maturing. Right? Recognizing that it's always ongoing. Now we also discovered that we need to help us as we disciple one another. We all want to be intentional. We want to be very clear in how to disciple one another. We recognize that we cannot just depend on knowledge alone. Right? You can know everything about deliverance, but if you don't have the skill to do deliverance, it's all head knowledge. So we recognize that we need to have certain clarity, right, from knowledge and skill. And the skill must be expressed in how we do things and how we live our life, all right? Our being and our doing. So let me just give you some examples to concretize what I'm saying here. So for example, a new disciples, right? Just like we read, the scripture tells us children is someone who knows that the sins has been forgiven and who knows the Father. And so for us, a new disciple is someone, how can a new disciple know that his sins has been forgiven? Assurance of forgiveness, right? So where do you get that? You get that at DTC, our follow-up classes. Right? And then we also know that he knows the Father. That means he's begin the step of knowing God. And that's where we'll teach him time alone with God. TAWG, alright? Stand for time alone with God. So he have the skill. We'll tutor him to develop the skill to spend time with God. And part of being a new disciple is one that is being plugged into the body of Christ. That's why in the doing, he's regular in cell group, he's regular in worship. And then, how does a new disciple cross over to become a young man? Is where he come to the point where he say that, I will follow Jesus all the way. And demonstrated in the act of water baptism. And so the moment he's baptized, he moved on to a growing disciple. Again, the young man, the scripture describes young man as someone who overcome the evil one, who is strong, who allowed the word of God abides in his life. So what does that mean? So that means for us is that in order for them to experience breakthrough, that's why we design RTF. Right? When they come for RTF sessions, they can allow the word of God to help them to overcome one issue in their life at a time. Alright, so they can experience victory, overcoming the evil one. And they are strong, which means that they can start to serve. So the moment you cross from children to young men or to new disciples, we want to encourage you to start serving. Right? You are never too young to start serving. What can you do? You can start taking care of a new Christian. You can start taking care of the pre-believers among us. So that's why we talk about going for SBT classes where they'll be taught how to share the gospel. They'll be taught how to follow up new believers. Have you discovered sometimes the new Christian, they are more excited to share their faith? Alright, so we have to leverage on their excitement. And then the word of God abides in them. So they need to attend DTC 2, DTC 3, and being mentored, because that will help them. It's one thing that you learn. It's another to have someone who come alongside you to mentor you, to help you to allow the word to abide in your life. As he receive being mentored by somebody, he will also pick up the skill to mentor someone eventually. Then he become going over to maturing disciples. Now, the definition is someone who know the Father from the beginning. It tells us that fathers are people who serve out of the overflow of intimacy with God. Alright, because he is close to God. And therefore, as a father, he can minister, he can mentor young men and children. And this is our end product. Alright, as you come to the stage of maturity, we believe that by then you can be an effective priest and king wherever God puts you. Now we believe that when the time you come to this point, the Lord can use you effectively wherever He puts you. Now, how do we put in the process? Right? Remember just now, I've just described to you the product. Now, how do we move you from new disciple to growing disciple to maturing disciples? Now, today I've given you notes. Alright, usually I don't. I've given you the notes because we want everybody in BBTC to be very clear about the process. Right? Why? Because we want every one of us to come on board. That is given in your notes. Right? So for us, new disciples, we have basic follow-up. So maybe a person comes to know the Lord in a cell group. Somebody in the cell group will go through one-to-one assurance. Or the person can be follow-up through alpha courses. And then we bring them to a formalized follow-up material, which is the DTC one. Right? DTC stands for Discipleship Training Track. Then we talk about baptism. Once the person cross over, after the person has been properly grounded in the faith, walk into the baptism classes, baptized, he can enter into DTC 2, our Discipleship Training Track 2, alright? Or Spiritual Parenting Training. And then of course, Maturing Disciples, where he can go for DTC 3, and Self Leaders Training, and so forth. Alright? Now, we are not legalistic. I'm just giving you the process, the track, but we are not legalistic. We want to catch the spirit of the intent rather than the letter of the law. What do I mean by that? Because I know that in a church like this, some of us are trained by different stream, or different materials. For example, you may be follow up, you may be trained by the Campus Crusade or the CRU. Alright, Crusade use different materials. So, but you are assured of your forgiveness of sin. You know that your sin has been forgiven. And you have already began a systematic way of spending time with God. Are you still a children? Are you still a new believer? Right, you may not have gone through the DTC, which is the NEF material, the 2-7 series, but you have achieved the criteria, right? You know the Father, you know your sin has been forgiven, and you have done all the checklists. Do we keep you at new disciples category? No. We move you straight to growing disciples. Right? Again, I want to highlight to us, we are not legalistic, but we are just looking for criteria that Scripture has taught us to help you, to put you at the right place for further equipping, for further discipling. Alright? Now, this process is meaningless unless you come on board. That's why today we want to give you the notes so that you are very clear about where we are and where you can see yourself in and get involved in discipleship. I want to tell you the good news is that many have come on board and many has been blessed. So right now, allow me to just read out to you some testimony of people who have gone through the various training system, and they have been blessed. So let me just quickly read out some from Restoring the Foundation. RTF standing for Restoring the Foundation. One of the exciting things about learning about RTF is the fact that it isn't a rigid ministry structure. I have the opportunity to use the principle to minister to people ad hoc, impromptu situation arising from personal conversations. So this person wrote to me to two conversations he had. One conversation was at home with my wife. We have a chance to revisit a childhood experience which was a soul spirit hurt experience for her at the root of some of her struggles. As we let the spirit lead, I could vividly see what was unfolding in her mind even without her describing any of it. I could even see the layout of her childhood home, even the color of her wall. It could only be the spirit prompting. Alright? So amazing, isn't it? In another case, it was a routine work appraisal conversation with one of my staff. My staff happened to be a Christian as well. It became a chance to talk about her family issue. I explained the concept of RTF to her and led her through an SSH session where she finally dealt with a memory she had long suppressed. Afterwards, she felt that she felt full of peace as she hadn't felt for a long time. The encouragement is that RTF isn't something that happens corporately 4 times a year. We can apply the principle into our circle of friends, family, colleagues, and even on ourselves anytime it is needed. Healing is always available to those who seek the healer. So I encourage us, all right, not only that this person come, receive the ministry, he understand the ministry, he can go back and help the wife and others. Right, that does bring a lot of joy to us, that the training you receive in church can be used back in the marketplace. Then another one, now this one comes from a leader. So I encourage all the leaders. Leaders, you can also sign up for RTF, okay? This is a testimony from a leader. Although I've been a believer for several years and enjoyed my relationship with God, yet at the back of my mind, I always felt that I could not trust God and that He did not approve of what I did in my life. So I decided to take this issue and go through the ministry of RTF. Now all these testimonies are very transparent. Right? We have permission from them to read out to you. But it helps you to know that we want to encourage all of us to be real, alright? What was amazing was that during the Soul Spirit Hurts segment, one of the ministers was prompted by the Spirit and asked if birthdays have any significance for me. I then realized that I have no positive words for birthdays. They were very difficult for me. In fact, I don't remember my parents celebrating any of my birthdays when growing up. So I asked the Spirit for more revelation. And then the event on my 16th birthday surfaced. When my friend and I turned 16, we came up with a plan to have a combined party with my friends. I remember that I was so thrilled because I've never had a party. It would be held at my friend's condo function room with my friends providing the food. I offered to get a cake and plan a very cool cake. We spent days planning our wardrobe and decorating the room. The day came and we were having a great time, and halfway through the party, my dad called. And when I answered the call, he yelled at me for not telling him about this party and insisted that I come home immediately. I remember crying and reasoning with him that he could have known because he made the cake for me. Nevertheless, I have no choice but to leave the party. This whole occasion made me so hurt and angry that I could not even celebrate my 16th birthday. And all the fun and excitement was literally robbed from me, and that my dad was so unreasonable and uncaring. It made me feel so uncelebrated, so unimportant, and it wedged in me a deep sense of rejection. As a result, I have the ungodly belief that I was not important to God, and that He was always displeased with me. Then as I released my frustration and negative emotion to God, I felt Him doing a deep work in my heart. He gave me a picture of me and Him together outdoor, going on a nice hike on a hill with wonderful scenery. It was such a carefree and beautiful scene, and I knew that He was healing the memory of my 16th birthday with the assurance that He loves me and desires to bless me and give me many wonderful things to enjoy. There was a sense of release and acceptance. I was extremely moved that He ministered to me so powerfully. Since that ministry, I've grown to experience God's love increasingly and recognize the delight in me as His child. And through that, I can better relate to my family and to love them. Right? Praise God for all the ministry, isn't it? Can we give the Lord a big hand? All right. Every ministry by the Lord is special. I know because it is special to the receiver. So I encourage you, don't wait anymore. Remember just now the announcement for RTF? Please sign up, okay? Last one for the year. Now, there's a testimony for the DTC classes, alright? The discipleship training course. They're all together 3 levels, level 1, level 2, level 3, alright? And so, 2 sisters wrote to me, and this is what they described about how they benefited from the DTC classes. The course provided me with handles of how to memorize scripture, to stand firm on God's word, to overcome trials, and to lead an abundant and victorious Christian life. Right? another sister. My thoughts was tickled on the fruitful for Christ. My mind is going back to the secret of the vine, referring to another book. We love the verse, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Beautiful, encouraging verse. The problem is that we just stop there, forgetting equally important second part. God appointed you to go and bear fruit. DTC reminds me to be fruitful, strengthen my walk with God, and be obedient to the word of God. So you see, all these people who have came on board the system, they have been blessed. So I encourage all of you, if you have not come on the system yet, come on board. Right? Because especially now as we come towards the end of the year, I want to encourage you, start planning for next year. Right? Because DTC classes will only start next February. Because we are now coming to the end of the year already, so the next batch will only start in February. So I encourage you, begin to clear out your schedule so that you can join us next year. Now beyond all the existing equipping track, I want you to know that everything we do in BPTC geared towards discipling every one of you. There's nothing that we do here is not with the aim of discipling you. Right? Our blessing campaign, our mission trips, our sermons, our MIB, our TSW, and our TCM. No, not TCM, TSM. Okay, TSW, the significant woman, the TSM, the significant man. And even our anniversary book. This one is the more retro look. There's a more modern look, okay? There are two versions, but same content. Even our anniversary book. Everything we do it for the purpose of discipling all of you. Now, even our anniversary book, in it, are full of testimony to encourage us. Alright? There are more than 30 testimonies inside where you can read. And you will marvel how much God has been doing in BBTC. Alright, so remember to get hold of it before the celebration. Then behind every testimony, alright, we have a team of editors that come together to read through every testimony. And at the end of every testimony, there will be a reflection question to help you, to guide you, how you can internalize the principle and apply them in your own life. And that's not all. We even have empty pages for you. So that we want to encourage you, not only that you read the testimony, get inspired, reflection to help you to apply, we also want to give you a chance to start to pen down your own story. Alright, so maybe someone prayed for you, you want to record what the prayer was, who the person that prayed for you, so that when the Lord answer them, when the Lord bring the closure to the issue, you can fill it in. Who knows? Whatever you fill in today may appear in our next anniversary book. Amen? So I encourage you, use this anniversary book. It is not meant for you to keep in your bookshelf. Alright? It is meant for you to use it as part of our discipleship journey. Thank you for laughing at the back. Why do we have discipleship in BBTC? First, it is the command of God. It is God's command. We must obey God. Otherwise, you have shaky foundation. You get in the risk of being deceived and you ended up developing pride. Alright, so we want to obey the word of God. Secondly, because BBTC, we are committed to obey. Therefore, we have a system ready for you. And then finally, it is His training course to develop us. And we become better when we obey. We become better when we obey. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. The success of our discipleship is not measured by our members' ability to recall. Because God called us to teach them to... See, the Lord did not call us to teach them to know. Our success of discipleship is measured by their obedience. Because God says, teach them to obey. So of course the assumption here is that we obey first, alright? Obedience starts with us, the disciple maker. But some of you may say, but Pastor, isn't it their responsibility to obey God? Of course. All of us are accountable to God directly for our obedience. But God have a certain challenge for us as disciple maker that we must work hard to teach them so that they can obey. What does that mean for us is that we must work hard to teach in such a way that it will be easier to help them to obey the Lord. Because I realize that many of us stop too early. We stop after we have given them the truth. We stop after we have given them the lecture. And we leave them to figure out how to apply the truth of God. And that's why some of them, after coming through the various Bible study classes and so forth, they walk away still clueless of how to apply. We stop too early. And so today, the Lord wants to remind us that we must work hard as disciple makers. We must work hard until they are able to apply. A sister shared with us recently in part of the DTC courses, and this is what she wrote. She said, "Teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you pointed me to realize that we are not just to teach the word, but we have to teach our flock to obey, to observe, to walk out, to live out the truth. Only then would there be real life transformation. Only those who live the word will last the long haul, including us, as we are to model obedience." I'm still pondering and asking our Lord how to do that. How to teach those who are with us to apply the truth. How can we teach our disciples until they are able to obey? This reminded me of a movie called Kung Fu Panda. If you remember, if you have not watched the show, let me just quickly share with you. There's a scene whereby the Master Sufu was trying to teach Kung Fu Panda how to fight. But Kung Fu Panda was not very motivated. Every time he tried, he failed. Alright? And the Master Sufu was very, very upset. But then one day he discovered how to teach in such a way that Kung Fu Panda will learn. Can we have the video, please?
Do you want to learn Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Then I am your master.
Okay.
Don't cry.
Okay.
When you focus on Kung Fu, when you concentrate, you stink. But perhaps that is my fault. I cannot train you the way I have trained the five. I now see that the way to get through to you is with this.
Oh, great, because I am hungry.
Good. When you have been trained, you may eat. Let's begin.
So what can we learn from this video? Important of food, isn't it? I know breakfast coming. I'm finishing with the last point already. See the worship thing coming up? Worship thing can come out. Don't see that, can come out already, okay? I'm finishing, okay? So last few minutes. What can you learn from a video like this? See, one of the things that the Master Sufu recognized that we cannot treat everybody the same. Right? And important for us as disciple maker, we need to know how to motivate our learner. Because if you treat everybody the same, nobody will be learning. You need to know what works for the person. Right? If you've been reading the books or articles about the millennial, you'll discover that every millennial, they're different. Right? Every young adults today, they're all different. And therefore, you need to know what works for different one of them. As a disciple maker, that's basic for all of us. We need to learn afresh how to engage our disciple. And from the video, you can see that as the Master Sufu persevered, he actually learned something himself. He learned a new way, a creative way to motivate his students. Right? And it's the same for all of us. You see, God wants to develop us as much as He wants to develop our disciples. God is a God who loves all of us. So as all of us get involved in discipleship, all of us will grow. But the thing for us who are disciple makers, don't stop too quickly. Press in and ask God, Lord, how else can I do to make it better so that my disciples can truly learn? Let me share with you, because God has given us a Master Sufu, so to speak. All right, and his name is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said in Colossians 1:28-29, right? He's our model disciple maker, right? He said this. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Within these two verses, you can see three things that the Master Sufu apostles did for us, alright? He modeled for us. Three things. First, he used various methods to engage the people. He proclaimed, he admonished, he teach. Is that all? That's not all, because he says that with all wisdom. So first thing, Paul has modeled for us that as we teach our disciples, we must ask God for wisdom, how to teach, how to proclaim, use various methods to engage our disciples. Secondly, all right, to present every man complete in Christ. Paul has an end in mind. He has an end in mind. He wants to present every man complete in Christ. How does complete in Christ look like? A life of obedience. All right. Now, time does not allow me to unpack further. Let me give you the third thing. All right. Not only that he used various methods with the wisdom of God, he has a goal in mind for everyone and his disciple. Lastly, he worked hard. Discipleship is hard work. All right. But not only that, he worked hard, but not just on his own. He depended on the power of God within him. According to his power, which worked mightily within me. So I want to encourage all of us as disciple maker, we must obey the word of God to teach our disciples until they obey as much as possible, because we will become better disciples as we do that. Okay? Summary. Akan datang, ah? Why we do discipleship? First, it is a command of God. So we want to obey. We don't want to get trapped into all the warnings of God. Second, it's a commitment from BBTC. We are committed to obey. And then finally, it is his training course for us. You will benefit as you disciple somebody. You'll become better disciples. Let me end off this point. All that I'm saying tonight, today, anchor on one word, obedience. Obedience is the missing step in discipleship. Obedience must start with us. And if you put obedience into your discipleship journey, you will activate the power of God in your life. Obedience is so important that even Jesus himself learned about obedience. Hebrews 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Jesus came and learned obedience. Some of you may say, but Jesus is the Son of God. Is there anything else that he needs to learn? Well, he's a Son of God. When he came on earth, he became Son of Man. And as Son of Man, he learned obedience through suffering. As a result, many came to know him as a Son of God. Mark 15:39, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he thus had breathed his last, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. What did the centurion see? I'd like to suggest to us, the centurion saw the Son of God obeyed to the very end. And that's because the Son of God obeyed to the very end. Truly, this was the Son of God. Many people will see Jesus in us when we obey. I'd like to give us time now to just close our eyes. Have a time of personal reflection before God. Alright? It's only 10:15. So try not to leave. But take this time now to reflect on the Word of God. What does the Lord require of you today to obey? What is one area of obedience the Lord is asking of you today? Close all head bow, just between you and God. Today, this whole sermon revolves around the word obedience. And I sense that the Lord is stirring some of our hearts. The Lord is calling you in some areas to obey Him. With all eyes closed, all head bowed, just between you and God. At the count of three, I want to give you a chance to tell the Lord, Lord, I will obey. At the count of three, I just need you to lift up your hands and then put it down. Really, it's not for anybody to see, it's just for God to see. But the Lord has stirred your heart and you know that there's some area the Lord wants you to obey now. Alright? So at the count of three, if that's how the Lord has spoken to you, I want you to lift up your hand and then put it down. Alright, ready? One, two, three. Thank you, thank you. Lord, we pray for all these who have received the prompting of God. I pray for all my brothers and sisters that, Lord, may you help us to hear and obey. That we will delay no further, but today we will act on your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand? I'm going to ask Yuling to lead us to sing a very old hymn. The title of the song is Lead Me to Calvary. Why? Because I discovered that the Lord has told us He desires obedience more than sacrifice. But I also know that it is hard for us in our own strength to try to obey. We can obey only when we see what Jesus has done for us. And let the model of God, let what Jesus has done inspire us to obey. So I'm going to pass the time to Yuling to lead us. But today, even as we sing this song, Come, Lead Me to Calvary, I want to give some of us a chance to come to the altar to your left. Especially some of you, you've been stirred in this area of discipleship. Perhaps you have been, you have not been involved in discipleship for a long time, and today the Lord stir your heart again. I want to encourage you, come to the front and make a fresh altar to God. Talk to God. Alright, some of you, you have been stirred by the Lord and say that, God, I want to obey God. You come as well, make a personal consecration to God. Alright, come to your left. For those of you who need prayer, come to your right. The word of knowledge, you come to your right. Even today as I was praying, some of you, you felt powerless in your Christian life. I want to encourage you to come as well. And there will be someone here pray for you. But for the rest of us, make this our prayer. Ask God to lead us to Calvary. So as we see the Lord of obedience will inspire us to obey. Come to the altar of God. Thine shall the glory. If you need prayer, you just come. of Calvary, where our Savior obeyed even to the point of death. So that, Lord, that when we look at Jesus, that you will inspire us to obey as well. That we will not give room to our fleshly nature, but we will choose the path of obedience, empowered by your Spirit. Lord, help us today as we resolve in our hearts that we will say yes and amen to you. That wherever you call, whatever you call, we will say yes and amen. We will obey. So that, Lord, that may our lives brings you pleasure. May the way we live brings delight to your heart. A life of obedience. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you. Guide us, Lord, as we choose to embrace the path of obedience. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, you just come.